about today. So if you would, please turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. And the whole purpose of the priest is clarified here. And it's interesting as we go through this, you'll learn more and more about the complete work of salvation, like everything that Christ had to do in order to not only satisfy God's righteous requirement, justify, sanctify, intercede, advocate, all these things done in Christ, they all had to be done, because if one was missing, our eternity, our salvation is not possible. Like, it's perfect in every way, okay? So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go through reading Hebrews 4:11, and then we're going to keep reading, and then we're going to stop at chapter 5, verse 4. Father, I want to thank you so much. You are holy, good, and righteous. All the details by which salvation must be done and accomplished, and then the application of that work in the life of the believer, an amazing picture, and all the things that you, Christ, have accomplished, not only as the message, but the messenger, not only as the messenger, but the prophet, not only as the prophet, but now the high priest. And Lord, those are just scratching the surface of the reality of what you have done and who you are. Thank you that you are the sacrifice. You are the head of the body. You are all these things and more. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness. To you be honor and glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 4, verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifice for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when God, called by God, just as Aaron was. Now, when we read this, we think, does that mean Christ sinned? He didn't. But I will show you that the requirement and the obligation of the high priest is fulfilled in Christ because of what he is and what he has done for us and what he's become for us. Okay? We'll clarify this and you'll see it clearly. He is the true and better high priest. So, principle number one, if Christ is our faithful high priest and our sacrifice, should we shrink from being a faithful witness on his behalf? So if this is true, then what is your obligation as a believer? To shrink away, to not be a faithful witness, or to be a witness? Okay? Keeping the faith is more than doing all the right things as a Christian. It's carefully and faithfully professing him who gave his life and rose again to give us life. So if we have a faithful high priest who goes into the Holy of Holies on our behalf, intercedes on our behalf, is faithful to commit to those things and do the things that are required, then we should be quick to profess the reality of the holiness of our God and Savior. Now, verse 14 says it this way. So then, we have a great high priest who has passed through. So this word passed through, it's not like he was in one place and he just traveled through heaven. That's kind of what it sounds like when you read it. That this great high priest just kind of like passed through the heavenlies. It's not really how it's supposed to be presented, though this word, diarkomai, is the word meaning passed through, okay? But if we take this word and we break it down into the two words that it is, die is the first word, and erkomai is the second. And you guys already know what erkomai is. I love erkomai words. It's erkomai, dierkomai, proserkomai. It's all these really cool erkomai words. I just like them. They sound cool. Anyway, dierkomai, the word die means to come. To come. And erkomai means to go from one place or to another or to go through. So what's interesting about this word dierkomai, it means to come by the means of. In other words, he came through heaven. Heaven sent him. He came by the means of heaven. That's what this means. So when we say, since we have a high priest who has come by the means of the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast. Krateo. Krateo means to keep carefully and faithfully, not discard or let go. In other words, if our high priest has come by the means of heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, then we should keep carefully and faithfully, do not discard or let go of our confession. That makes a lot more sense now. If these things are true, why are we so quick to abandon the one thing that matters? The gospel. And there are a lot of types of gospels out there. And the gospel is simple. That Christ died according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. But we are quick to walk away from our confession because we don't want to deal with the issue of repentance or the issue of sin or the issue of being lost because those words don't sound real good. So we abandon our confession and we forget the responsibility and the cost that the high priest does on your behalf. And so, if we are to keep carefully and faithfully, not discard or let go of our confession, the word confession, interesting enough, means homologia. Now, homologia is a word profession or the one whom we profess. What a good definition. Who do you profess? So, do you profess God loves you? Or do you profess Christ crucified, buried, rose again on the third day? Or do you profess John 3:16? Or do you profess that God put on flesh, became like one of us, came in the likeness of sinful man, and he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we who are sinful may become the righteousness of God? That's a totally different thing. Like, in other words, apart from Christ, I'm doomed. That's a totally different profession. And so we must profess the one who is our faith. Him. And so, since we have a great high priest who has come by the means of heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we should keep carefully and faithfully and not discard or let go our confession that he is the Savior and King of the world. That's the point. Now, we understand why that's important, because the reality is, if he is the advocate for us and our intercessor, then we must also be quick to speak the reality of the holiness of our God. And so, second principle, we have a high priest who has experienced our weakness and has given us the way to him. There is only one way. It's not an easy way. It's the only way. And if he's the only way, he's the only way to him. There is a clear road, and it's hard, and it's narrow, and it's not easy. And he has set it for us. And he is our way to him. How do we know that? Because Galatians 2:20 tells us he's the way. Not only is he the way to eternity, he's also the way to Christian living. For I have been crucified with Christ, yet I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He is the only way, not only the only way to eternity, eternal life, he is the only way to successful Christian living, powerful living, not denying the power, but living in it victoriously. And so Hebrews 4:15 clarifies some things for us. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now you're probably asking, well, Pastor Joe, how come you haven't thrown a Greek word in there? Because this is like a literal translation. So it's very good. There's nothing else for me to say. Christ, who is our priest, he is able to sympathize with us because of our weaknesses, because he also was tempted in the same way we are, but yet he didn't screw it up. He didn't sin, which is important, especially when you come down to the next verses. Because if he, being a high priest, was to go into the Holy of Holies, and he was perfect, let's say this, in the mind of this high priest, who's not Jesus, thinks he's good. He has no issues. He walks in, with a rope around his waist, and he goes in and says, I'm not like those guys. Sounds familiar. Jesus said that, did he not? I'm not like them. And he walks in, and he's supposed to be interceding on your behalf, taking the blood of the animal that was sacrificed to cover your sin, and he walks in with an attitude. Or he just like, and then walks out. He doesn't make it out. Because you remember what he said here in verse 13, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him who must give an account. In other words, you're going to be judged because his word judges you, the thoughts and intents. You're going to die. And so what happens to the priest? He dies, and they pull him out by a rope. But I want you to understand something. Jesus goes in without a rope. Now, that's a powerful thought. One who is truly an interceder for us. One who is our advocate. He can go into the Holy of Holies, and his blood is what was given for us as a sacrifice. And he sprinkles his own blood on the seat and then walks out in confidence that the work that was done is done. And so, next principle. This is the reason why we can approach the throne of grace with full confidence, knowing he will do as he promised. If Christ has accomplished that type of high priest requirement, obligation, why are we so timid to walk into the throne of grace as if we cannot ask according to his will? Well, it says here in 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. Now, why is this important? Because the problem with our asking is we're asking not according to his will. And you have a lot of churches, denominations that say, just ask whatever you want. I mean, Jesse Duplantis is talking about he got his $25 million jet because he asked God for a $25 million jet. Guess what? God didn't give him the $25 million jet. That wasn't from God. Because God's will is different. He's living his best life now. Because when it's all said and done, his best life is not going to be good at all. Just saying. So, verse 16 says, it says this, let us then with confidence, parousia. Now this word confidence means freedom in speaking without ambiguity and fearless confidence. So let us, with freedom in speaking, without ambiguity and fearless confidence, draw near. Interesting word here, proserchomai, means draw near. That's exactly what it means. Just I like to say erchomai, so I put it in my thing. I was like, you might as well, because it's my shtick, you know. So proserchomai, to draw near to what? The throne of grace, that we may receive mercy. Now this word receive, lambano, means to receive what is given or obtain. Now I want you to get this. When you're thinking about lambano, when did you receive mercy? When did you receive the inheritance that God has promised? When was this accomplished in the timeline of God? Before the foundation of the world. It's already yours according to his will. What? Whatever is done in his word. Whatever he has promised in his word, he will do. That's the point. So when we're thinking about what we may receive, what we may receive to receive what was given is mercy. Think about that. Did God not apply mercy to your life before the foundation of the world? Isn't Christ crucified before the foundation of the world mercy? Isn't Christ predestining us to be conformed into the image of his son before the foundation of the world, the application of mercy and the transformation of the life? Yes. All of these things are accomplished in Christ before. And so, it continues, so we receive mercy and find horisco, to find, discover, see, learn, or understand. Grace to help in time of need. Now, this word time means timely or opportune. I like the word opportune. It kind of sounds fun. And here is my transliteration of Hebrews 4:16. You know, sometimes I like to do that because verse 16 kind of says, all right, it sounds pretty simple, but like, how can we describe this a little easier? And this is my transliteration. Drawing near, therefore, without ambiguity and with fearless confidence to the throne of grace, that having received what is given, mercy and grace, we discover, learn, and understand timely and opportune help in our struggle. In other words, you ever notice that, you know, when life's going on and things are difficult, and you think you're like at the end and oh my gosh, there's no way out. And then in the last very second, something happens and you go, whoo, it was timely, wasn't it? Wasn't it just like at the right opportune time that you needed the help and God shows up with the help? That's because he is our high priest. It's pretty amazing that God knows that we can, without ambiguity and with fearless confidence, come before his throne because he will do what he says he's going to do. Why? Because he has given us mercy and grace. And when we discover those truths, that reality of God, and learn and understand, At the right opportune time, we receive our help in our struggle, we learn a lot about God. That God does what he says, and that God only does according to his will. Everything else, he doesn't have to do. And he won't do. So, next principle. The responsibility of every high priest is to offer the sacrifice to God on behalf of all mankind for the remission of sin. That is the responsibility of the high priest. That was the responsibility of Jesus. Now I want you to get this. Jesus, the high priest, offers himself as the sacrifice for our remission of sin. And we go, that's not enough. How do we say it's not enough? Because I have to choose God. How do we say it's not enough? Because I have to do good. How do we say it's not enough? It's never enough when we pull Christ off of his position as high priest and savior, and we put ourselves in as a high priest, thinking that we can go in on our own behalf and speak for ourselves when we can't. And so, for there is no distinction, Romans 3:22 through 26. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. You remember that thing that you were given before the foundation of the world? That. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. So Jesus was put forward as the sacrifice necessary for the covering and the removal of our sin, and his blood is what was used to accomplish that task, which requires a high priest to come in and sprinkle the seat of the judgment seat of God to cover your sin. Do you remember all that? Yes, we're going to dig a little bit deeper. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. And it was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He's the one who determines, you don't. Now, that being said, now we understand Hebrews 5:1 a little bit better. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God. That is a high priest's responsibility. A high priest's responsibility is to act on behalf of men in relation to God, and God is the one who chooses those men. Now, it's one of the reasons why women can't be pastors. Because though Jesus is the high priest, pastors also come before God on behalf of his people and act on behalf concerning their relationship with him. And it says this, that they offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now, I don't have to do that. It's Jesus. Now, I want you to understand that. Jesus offers gifts and sacrifices for sins. What is Jesus' gifts? Mercy, grace. What is the sacrifice? Himself. So Jesus is the chosen high priest. Has Jesus not been appointed by the Father to act on behalf concerning the relationship with God and men? He was. So Jesus Christ is the gift, he is the sacrifice, and he is the high priest who goes on our behalf interceding for you. And so, next principle, God, Christ, is our intercessor and advocate who can and fully, on our behalf, bring our atoning sacrifice, fulfill all the obligations of the high priest. So Jesus, as a high priest, brings in the blood of the sacrifice himself and fulfills the full obligation of the high priest for us. And here it is. Christ alone is our high priest. He, Jesus, or the priest, the high priest, and this is really just to clarify how he is relatable to the high priest. That's important. Because remember, he did not sin. But I want you to hear this. He, the high priest, can deal gently. This word deal gently means be affected moderately, or one who is not unduly disturbed, but bears them gently. That's what this means. How can the priest or the high priest deal gently with you? Because he says this, that the high priest can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward. Now, I know some of you guys are like, I ain't ignorant. We all are. Unknowledgeable. We all really don't know the fullness of everything, do we? We're learning. Some know a little bit more than others, but we still don't know all that goes into this situation. So the high priest can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. How can Jesus, being God, without sin, be the one who can deal gently with us as ignorant and wayward people if he himself is beset with weakness? Would that make him God? Is Jesus a sinner? No. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews 4:15, what's it say? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize, unable to be compassionate with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He can and absolutely does understand us. He is a priest who deals gently with us. The benefit is he doesn't walk into the Holy of Holies with a rope wrapped around his waist. He goes in fearlessly confident because he is God on our behalf, showing he can fulfill the obligation and requirement of the high priest for us. And so, verse 3, because he is obligated, aphileo. This word means to owe or that which is due. How is he obligated? Because this is the requirement in order to be justified in Christ. There has to be a priest who can come into the Holy of Holies and offer the sacrifice before God, the requirement of the propitiation of your sin. That is how it works. And Jesus is that high priest. That's amazing. So, he, the high priest, is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. Now you're wondering, Jesus didn't sin, so how can he offer sin? How can he offer a sacrifice for himself? Glad you asked. Because Scripture always interprets Scripture. Context is always upon context, and precept is always upon precept, and you can always trust God has the answer, and here it is. Christ is without sin, Hebrews 4:15, but the obligation of the high priest is still necessary on our behalf. 2 Corinthians 5:21 reads this. You ready? 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So guess what? Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. Oh, what's interesting is Christ, being the perfect sacrifice without sin, put upon himself our sin and then goes in on our behalf in his and saying, my sacrifice is sufficient. That's what it means. Wow. What a complete work of salvation in Christ. And because of this very reason, I want you to hear this. So, through Christ, the sinless high priest, the obligation of the high priest to offer the sacrifice on our behalf and is the one in every way experienced our weakness, so that he is the advocate for us and can deal gently with us before him who is holy. And this is the point of the advocate. How can he advocate and intercede if he doesn't understand? But he does in every way. What an amazing work. And so, we're going to end here. Christ was called by the Father to be our high priest and so fulfilled the plan that was set before him. This was the plan. The plan of salvation in every detail. Every detail. When we think about a high priest, we don't think about the requirement and the obligation of the high priest. We just teach, oh, it's just the high, he's our high priest. He intercedes for us. So much more. There's a requirement, an obligation that must be fulfilled. And so, can you imagine, let me say it this way, can you imagine a high priest who comes in on your behalf who has no understanding of your suffering? Then what's the point? And if he comes in and he understands our weakness and our struggles, will he not joyfully offer the sacrifice on your behalf? And the scripture says he does. It's an amazing thing. And so, Ephesians 1, 7 through 10 says this. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Wow. Every detail is covered. Every single box is checked. And when it's all said and done, now you know why Paul says in Romans 1, men are without excuse. There is no excuse but hatred toward God, which he clarifies in Romans 1. Kind of neat how you see all these letters and all these statements kind of just fit together. And so, chapter 5, verse 4 says this, Hebrews 5, 4, and no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. And just as Aaron was called by God to be the high priest of the people, Jesus was called by the Father to be the high priest for us. This is not something that you do because it feels good. This is a calling. And no one takes this honor for himself. It's not something he can claim. It's given. And it's a heavy responsibility. And thank God he is the high priest, because this is too much for any man to carry. Father, I want to thank you so much for your faithfulness and goodness. Thank you that you are the high priest, the faithful one, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and that you intercede on our behalf. Thank you for the advocate that you are for us. To you be honor and glory forever in Jesus' name. Amen.